I've titled the sermon Celebrating Christmas. And I think I've done something like this before, but hey, it's a new day. I want to look at 6 points, there are many more, of what celebrating Christmas is. And the first one is simply this. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating the eternal purpose of God. The eternal purpose of God. And by that, what I'm pointing to is simply this. God didn't come up with Christmas a few years before Jesus was born. God didn't come up with his birth. As I said a week ago or a couple of weeks ago, the birth of Jesus was planned before the world was made. You say, hold on, what we celebrate today? Yes, that. What we celebrate today was planned before the foundation of the world. It was in the eternal counsels of God. So when God said, let us make man, Genesis 1:26, let us make man, Christ was already planned before man was ever created. God had an image before man was created. That image is Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, come on now. That's why he could say that, right? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, we read, the Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. The choosing, the scripture says he chose their descendants. When did God choose them? Before the foundation of the world. He chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because Christ would come through their loins. The purpose of Israel was to bring forth the Messiah to the whole world. Did you know that? Therefore, Israel can't boast in who they are. Aren't we great? No, he's great. Yeah. Yeah. The whole purpose of Israel was to bring forth the Messiah. That's why he chose Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. What did he mean by that? I'm going to bless, I'm going to bring the Messiah through you. I'm going to bless you with the Messiah. He's going to come through your lineage, and through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And we're living at that time right now. All the nations have been blessed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. When was this decision made? The Old Testament doesn't tell us, but the New Testament does. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him, in who? In Christ, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. It's hard to think in these terms because we're created. And he isn't. Right? So the same one who said, let us make man, also said, let us save man. Let us redeem man. Let us rescue man from sin. The same one who said, let us make man, also said. We don't have it recorded that he said that, but we know it was said because it was planned before the foundation of the world. So we celebrate the eternal purpose of God, but we also celebrate the forgiveness of God. And this has become one of my favorite scriptures. Matthew 1:21, and the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph in a dream, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. Now, there's some things that we have that we don't want to claim as our own. Sins is at the top of the list. He will save his people from their sins. We were all conceived in sin, had no power over it. We were its slave, its prisoner. And Jesus came to save his people from their sins. You cannot save yourself from your sins. Only Christ can save you and me from our sins. Now God said to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin is presented here, personified as a ravenous creature that's going to destroy, that's going to eat Cain up if he doesn't deal with it. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. This is the first man-child to be born to Adam and Eve, and we know the balance of the story. Sin took control of him because he didn't resist it. And he ended up murdering his brother. The scripture says that Christ came to save us from our sin. David said in Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We were all born into sin. You heard the term born leader? No. Born sinner? Everyone. Everyone. We're all born sinners. We had no choice in the matter. But when we weren't given a choice, what did we do? If God told Adam and Eve, stay away from the tree, I would build a tree house in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Been swinging from the branches when God came. Hey, Lord, how you doing? Here I am. That's how sinful this old boy was. Yeah. I would have had a tree house. We've been playing in the tree. So we had sin in us from the beginning. But Proverbs puts it even more still, so emphatic, and just, it so impresses upon me. Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities trap the wicked man. His own iniquities. And he is caught in the cords of his own sin. I read that. I couldn't help but think of somebody in the news, Rudy Giuliani. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a lawyer. And he lied about two election workers in Georgia and said those people stole. But he was lying. And in court, he just lost and had to pay someone $148 million because of what he said. No one made you say it. He lied about these women. That was a few years ago, 3 years ago. Then he lied about them again a couple of days ago. I'm like, whoa, bro. And it keeps coming. And he's caught by the cords of his own sin. We see it over and over and over again. How we get trapped with the cords of our own sin. Jesus came to deliver us, to save us from our sins. We see, as Pastor Bill was saying, all throughout his life, Jesus in the scriptures, Matthew 9:2, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus saved that man from the effects of his sin. What are the effects of sin? Sickness and death. Sickness and death. The wages of sin is death. Right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. But Jesus, he sees this man who was kept bound by his sin in a state of paralysis. Jesus forgave him of his sins, told him to get up. People looked at Jesus and said, who do you think you are? Jesus is like, you don't know yet? They said, who can forgive sins but God only? Exactly. Watch this. That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He turned to the paralytic and said, pick up your mat and walk into your house. He couldn't have done that unless the man's sins would have been forgiven. He couldn't heal him unless his sins were forgiven. And Jesus said, pick up your mat, go into your house. And he did it. Which stated to them emphatically that they had God in the flesh in front of them, but they rejected it. Dear God, My. So Jesus came born in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, yet he overcame sin in the flesh that we might not be bound by sin. He came to save us from our sins. And that, beloved, is why the Christian today can say no to sin. Oh, today I wouldn't be swinging in that tree. No, not today. Not today. I'd be like, no, Lord, no. I want my Lord. I want the eternal life. I want all that he has for me, which, according to the scripture, he says, I am thine inheritance. You can have the whole world, but give me Jesus. Hello. Come on now. The older I get, the more the world seems dead to me. Are you anybody experiencing that? Now, if you're young, now I get it, you know. But when you get older, you're looking at the world and saying, there's nothing here for me. I'm sorry, it just doesn't do it. It seems like it's another lifetime ago. It's like all those things mean nothing now. Jesus said about a woman, therefore I say to you, speaking to Simon, the Pharisee who invited him to his house to eat, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Oh, those are beautiful words. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. This is what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. Now, I'm waiting to see when I'll have the opportunity to say to someone, hey, it's Christmas time. Are all your sins forgiven? They look at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you a sinner. Did you know you was a sinner? I have good news for you. Jesus was born to take away our sins. As Pastor Bill, that's why I said, Pastor Bill preached the whole message. We can all go home. Yeah, he was born to die. He said, for this purpose, I came into the earth to lay down his life. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Wonder what that woman felt like. When a person truly understands that their sins have been forgiven, there is an outpouring of affection for the one who forgave their sin. That's why Mary Magdalene was weeping on the feet of Jesus and washing him with the hair of her head, because he forgave her of all her sins. We're celebrating this, Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the new covenant. Hearkening all the way back to the new covenant in the book of Jeremiah, the prophecy that with the house of Judah, he would establish a new covenant, which is shed. So he wasn't talking about as the thought in John chapter 6 when he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh. No, he was talking about literally dying on a cross. Sacrificial atonement, whose blood would atone for the sin of all who believe in him. This blood which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That many that Jesus is talking about is everyone who will receive the truth of the gospel, which is Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So that's what we're celebrating when we celebrate Christmas. Now, the world would have us celebrate one day, and as Pastor Bill said, they're taking away Christ and slipping in holiday. But we know that every day is the celebration. We know every day. We give God thanks for cleansing us and washing us in the blood of Jesus. And we also forgive those who've sinned against us, according to the scripture. Number three, celebrating Christmas is celebrating the revelation of God. I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again here. Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherd, Simon, Anna, and the wise men all celebrated the revelation of God given to them. Think about it for a moment. That first Christmas, when Christ was born, no one knew he was being born. Not even Mary. Not even Joseph. No one knew what God was doing. But to everyone he revealed it to, they all began to rejoice. Right? So celebrating Christmas is celebrating the revelation of God. And there are people yet today, during this Christmas time, that still need to hear the revelation of Jesus Christ. That his son died for them. And rose again that they might live. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating the selflessness of God. I really get hung up thinking about God and the goodness of his grace and how selfless. You understand that God receives, he takes in nothing. He needs nothing. He's not like us, okay? We need everything. Oh my goodness. And yet he's constantly giving out. Everything flows from him. Life, power, love, strength, grace. It flows out of him. He is totally 100% selfless. And the scripture says, we see it here in John chapter 3. Jesus talking about Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the serpent in the Old Testament was put on a pole and lifted up, but whoever looked at it in faith would be healed of the fiery serpents that were biting them. Jesus likened himself unto that, yet he would be lifted up on a cross. He would be lifted up and die on a cross. In order to have the same effect of delivering the people from sin and death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is so extremely selfless to me. And so we stand in awe of his goodness. So him giving here is him giving here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Again, God giving, pouring out his life. He brought forth his son. God owed the world nothing, but he gave it everything. He owes us nothing. Many times in the Old Testament, God, he said to Moses, hey, I'm going to destroy this people. I'm going to start over with you. Was God serious? Did he say it? Has God ever said anything he didn't mean? Not one time. Could God have destroyed the people, started over with Moses? In a heartbeat. He could have done it. Moses cried out, no, Lord, what about your great name? And God said, okay, I'm going to spare the people. Do you know how easy it is? Would have been for God to say, okay, I'm done with this. All of you go, all of you burn in the hell created for Satan and his angels. Remember that. It's hell created for Satan and his angels. You go there. I'm going to make a whole new people. But he didn't do that. Instead, he died. He came and identified in our sin and our death, and he died for us. He's worthy of my affection all day long, all throughout eternity. He's worthy of my affection. Ephesians 2:8-9. We know this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift. God constantly giving. Constantly giving. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God help Christians. Help us Christians that boast. Jesus help us. We have nothing to boast about. Celebrating Christmas is celebrating the incarnation of God. The incarnation of God. back to Matthew chapter 1. We've been here for weeks. I love this. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. No one knew that God had intended to come in the flesh and tabernacle with man. No one. Not even the prophet who prophesied it. Because that prophecy was fulfilled in his day. That prophecy was fulfilled in a temporal sense in his day. A virgin did have a son and fulfilled this prophetic word. But then it was fully fulfilled in Christ. When a virgin bore a son. And they called his name Emmanuel. God actually came to this earth. He walked around. He got tired. He got thirsty. He got hungry. Everything we go through, he went through. Told the woman at the well, "Give me a drink of water." Jesus was thirsty. Yeah, he said him being wearied from his journey, he sat thus on the well. He was tired. He knows what it is when we're tired. He came and identified with everything. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Tempted in all points because he came and he lived in the flesh. So what God said in the Old Testament, no one understood. It was the angels who revealed to those in the New Testament that God's holy son was being born. The unseen God of the Old Testament, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, stepped down into a body. And to the people that thought he didn't care, he's so distant. Oh, no, he's not distant. No, he's not distant. So on that first Christmas morning, no one knew that God's son was being born until heaven revealed to earth the great occasion. Afterward, heaven and earth could both rejoice in the birth of God's son, and rightfully so, because man was doomed. Man was damned and condemned without a savior. And then lastly, celebrating Christmas is celebrating the new birth. Celebrating the new birth. I want to go to John chapter 3. It's kind of lengthy here, but you'll remember it, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, who had come to him by night to ask him questions. And Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, everyone's born of water. Okay? Her water broke. Amen. Then comes the child. So everyone is born of water, but Jesus said, unless he is also born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And then Jesus describes how the Spirit works. He used an analogy. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. So what the Spirit does, the Spirit, you cannot see it, but you can see its effects. Hello? You can see its effects. Pastor Bill was talking earlier how they want to take Christ, Christmas, Merry Christmas, all this, people doing away with it. I said, that's okay. Because those in whom is the Spirit, you're going to see its effects in them. You're going to see the effects of the Spirit everywhere. Do you understand that there's no getting away from God on this planet? People can do what they want to do. This is his planet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The people and they that dwell therein. People say they kick God out of school. You can't kick God out of school. Are you insane? It's how you see, it's how you see the kingdom. It's how you see life. Look, God holds your breath in his hands. You can't kick him out of anything. No. So he says, listen, the wind blows where it wills. He says, you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. I remember, that reminds me, I was in the gym about 25, 30 years ago. I can't remember what it was. I was in the gym, and when I go to the gym, I go to work out, but I also go to preach. I got to tell somebody about Christ. And I remember this one day, I was sharing with this guy. And his friends walk up. Now, these boys were G-string dancers. They're all pretty, pretty boys. They're all gorgeous, pretty men. But they all happen to be G-string dancers, you know. And they put money in it. And so they would go to the club, whatever, and they're dancing and everything. Well, so I'm sitting there and I'm sharing with them, right? I had finished my leg workout, whatever I was doing. And I'm sharing the gospel. And this one guy, he heard the gospel. And he stayed there and listened. He was asking me questions and all this. He ended up getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. Okay. But the other two guys, he told me I never saw them again. He said, well, how was that? And I explained to him the ways of the Spirit. The Spirit came and sat down on him, but it didn't sit down on them. You could see the effects of it, but I couldn't tell what the Spirit was doing until I saw his effects. And that guy's born again and serving the Lord till this day. That was 1988. That was 1988. But the Spirit, see where you and I go, the Spirit goes. That's Ezekiel. Remember the cherubim and the wheels? It said wherever the cherubim went, the wheels went. It said because the spirit of the cherubim was in the wheels. Well, guess what? The Spirit of God is in you. And where you and I go, he goes. Look, and sometimes he'll lead us, if we're sensitive, he'll lead us to go places where he's going, what he wants to do, right? And if we're sensitive, we'll see that, be open to it. Now, the way Jesus was born is the same way we're born, of the Spirit. Okay? The same Spirit that overshadowed Mary. Remember, she said, how am I going to have a son when I don't know a man? And Gabriel said, the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, that holy child that should be born of you shall be called the Son of God. The same Spirit that came over Mary, that conceived in her womb, came over Darian. And he was born again. Same Spirit came over Zelda. Came over Tim, the same Spirit from 2,000. Y'all ain't hear me. I said the same Spirit from 2,000 years ago that stood over Mary, come and stand over you. And the same way Jesus was born, you and I got born again by the Spirit. The same Spirit that was hovering over the waters in Genesis chapter 1 is the Spirit that hovered over Mary, is the Spirit that came over you and I. And that same Spirit is coming over people in this day and age that they might be born again. Now, if the Spirit, if it's not by the Spirit, then you're not his. That's what the scripture says. So Jesus said in John chapter 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. That's how we are born again. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, but you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He's simply not his. The Spirit of God, who you cannot see, is active every day bringing people to himself. He brought us to himself. And sometimes he includes us in the process of bringing other people to himself. But it is indeed the work of the Spirit. Paul told the Galatians, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. He was talking about the struggle that we know all too well, the struggle of the flesh and the Spirit. We wrestle with it every day. Amen. I was praying when my knee went acting foolish and everything. I was praying. I pray every day. I said, Lord, I need a miracle. The Lord would say, lose weight. I said, every day, I said, Lord, I need a miracle. Lose weight. I'm like, that's not what I want to hear. I need a miracle. My knee, I need my knee. I don't want to have an operation. I can't be laid up. I got to work. I got stuff to do. So I would pray every day. I said, Lord, I'm trusting for a miracle. Lose weight. I said, but we all wrestle with our flesh. Do you know what the flesh likes? The flesh likes sugar. Hey. The flesh like a whole bunch of stuff that make you inflamed and all of this business. Yeah, you know about it. And the other day I said, okay, no more sugar. I cut out the sugar. My knee instantly started getting better. For the first time in 5 months, I walked up the steps this morning with no pain in my left knee. It was shocked. I was blown away. But I had to listen to the Spirit. Hello? I want to keep eating, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And no, quit eating that. So that same struggle that we have, right, in order to bring us to himself, God overcame that. He did it. Why? Because we couldn't. But then now that he's done it, he says, okay, now you come on and you exercise your will. You say no to the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and its lusts. It says we who are Christ, we've done it in him by the power of the Spirit. What do we know? We know this, that who prevailed? Was it the child born according to the flesh? Or the child born according to the Spirit? We know it was not Ishmael who prevailed, because Ishmael was kicked out. Get that bond woman and her child out of my house. And so Abraham gave him some stuff. Get out. You got to go. It was Isaac who prevailed. He's the child born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So will the Spirit prevail over the flesh to give glory to God in all things in our lives. Amen. He is in you to prevail over the flesh. Anybody struggling with their flesh, take heart. Amen. You're not alone. God has not left you alone. You will overcome. You will overcome by the power of the Spirit so that Jesus Christ might be glorified in all things. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power of grace. Thank you for the new covenant in your blood. Thank you, O God, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, who bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and that by your Spirit, Lord, we've been born again, and by your Spirit we are sanctified and we overcome in your name. I pray, O God, that we would flesh out, Lord, celebrate Christmas according to your word, and that we would live according to your word to the glory of your great name. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.